Nice to see you friends back in the class, as we are dealing with an intimate relationship between man and woman. It is an anthropology that we are dealing with, one of the branches of systematic theology. We dealt with the relation between man and woman and submissive section of woman towards man. Now we are dealing something very important in the marriage life. That's what God meant for man and woman. Paul writes in Ephesians that wives submit to her husband as to the Lord in verse 22, and as church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Wives must submit to their husband as the church must submit to Christ. And Leafield claims that the submission of wives does not include obedience. But if this is true, then neither does the submission of church include obedience. Therefore, according to Leafield, the wives and the church do not need to be obedient to their husbands or to Christ, but one must be obedient to his superiors in the military. Instead of assuming that submission does not include obedience, we should allow biblical teaching concerning Christ's absolute authority over the believers and the church to dictate the meaning of submission. Since the believers and the church are to obey Christ in the submission to him, the wives are to obey their husbands in everything. Defining to submit as to yield one's own rights is problematic in first place, since the passage also applies to submit to our relationship with Christ. This definition implies that we have a right to defy the Lord, only that we are to surrender such a right. However, since other biblical passages deny that we have a right to defy God, the definition is false. These blunders alone reflect terrible scholarship and produce blasphemous implication. However, Leafield's error do not stop here, since his claim that the word obey does not appear in scripture with respect to wives is both misleading and false. The claim is misleading, since although the word translated submit, hypotasso, in chapter 5 verse 22 is different from one translated obey, hypaku, in chapter 6 verse 1 and chapter 6 verse 5. Both words carry the meaning of obedience. For example, Luke chapter 2 verse 51 used the word hypotasso, but this time it is translated obedient. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient, hypotasso, to them. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 use hypaku when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2, Paul assumes that commandment, honor your father and mother, means that children must obey their parents, since the word in Luke chapter 2 verse 51 is hypotasso. Is Leafield insinuating that Jesus merely submitted to his parents but did not obey them? If Jesus has obeyed the commandment, honor your father and mother, and his commandment entails obedience to one's parents, it follows that Jesus obeyed his parents and that it is correct to translate hypotasso as obedient in Luke chapter 2 verse 51. However, Leafield's claim is not only misleading, it is simply false, since he affirms that hypotasso is correctly translated submit in 5:22 and that hypaku is correctly translated obey in chapter 6 verse 1 and chapter 6 verse 5, his claim that the word obey does not appear in scripture with respect to wives would mean that hypaku is never used in scripture with when referring to wives. But 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 5 to 6 applies the word hypaku to Sarah. For this is the way the holy woman of past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive. The word used is hypotasso to their husbands, like Sarah who obeyed hypaku Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Since Sarah was the wife of Abraham, she obeyed, and the word used is hypaku, their husband. And since the wives are told in this passage to imitate her obedience, it necessarily follows that hypaku is being equally applied to all wives. This passage applies hypaku to Sarah as a wife and by extension to all wives. How then can Liefeld assert that the word obeyed does not appear in scripture with respect to wives? In any case, whether hypaku or hypotasso is used, Bible teaches the wives must obey their husbands. Wives may protest that this is difficult to do, but it is arguable that the husband's duty is even more challenging. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. The command is not for the husbands to merely show affection to their wives, but to love them to the death and cherish her more than his own life and welfare. To the extent that one does not possess such love for his wife, he is less than a biblical man. Our estimation of man should never rise higher than his love for God, the Bible, and his wife. It may be true that many men are difficult to obey, but it is also true that many women are difficult to love. However, just as God empowers Christian men to love their wives as Christ loved his church, he empowers Christian women to obey their husband as the church ought to obey Christ. In any case, each person is accountable to God regardless of what the other does. As Apostle Peter affirms, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 7, that a husband is unloving does not excuse the wife's of disobedience, and a husband must love his wife regardless of her shortcomings. The popular objection to biblical authority structure for family comes from a misuse of Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. And argues that the word speaks against all gender inequality or distinction. This is neither Jew nor woman, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Since there is neither male or female in Christ, some make the argument that there should be no role distinction of difference in authority with the marriage relationship. However, this cannot be the intent of the verse, since elsewhere Paul prescribes role distinction and recognizes differences in authority between husband and wife and master and slave, saying, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, and slaves, obey your earthly master with respect and fear, with the sincerity of heart, just as you obey your Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 and 6 verse 5. Therefore, Galatians chapter 3, 28 does not abolish all gender distinction. It does not contradict or nullify those biblical passages teaching the male headship of the female or of the family. When we read the verse in its context, it becomes obvious that it only refers to the equality of every elect individual in his ready access of justification by faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 to 29 says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. This verse does not teach social or gender equality of at all, but it teaches a spiritual equality among the elect, all those whom God has chosen to receive salvation have equal access to justification through Christ by faith, whether they are men or women, Jews or non-Jews, master or slave, gender, race, social, descriptive, nothing else come in difference. Everything, they are irrelevant to one's access to salvation through Christ by faith, although they are the elect will obtain it. Romans chapter 11 verse 17 and 7. So these were the relationship what Bible teaches about man and woman in a family life, in a marriage life. We cannot uproot it. We cannot defy it. No one can stand against the definition that the word of Lord gives for man and woman. So a harmony in marriage life is settled only according to biblical doctrine, according to God's doctrine that God has given. And with these words, I would like to conclude here is that women are to be submissive to man or husband in the family, and husband or to love his wife. And that creates a harmony in the family. And this is a very integral part of human beings as we study anthropology. So we will get into another chapter about the another nature of man and what regard man to be in the sight of God. Thank you so much here being for this chapter.